commit this time to you, Deuteronomy. Yes, you be glorified and grant us the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the full knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we might have a clear pathway not only into the fullness of your inheritance for us in Christ, but for you to obtain the riches of the glory of your inheritance in us, not only in us personally, but in a representative way on a corporate level, all the way to consummation and rapture. We pray in Jesus' name. In Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 6, he says, "In that day I swore to them to bring them out of the land of Egypt into the land which I had spied out for them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands." So in Ezekiel 20, verse 6, God had already spied out the land. So why would you need to have people go in and spy out the land? I spied it out. It's the land flowing with milk and honey. If I've given it to you, now go take it. That's all they need to hear. But, you know, we got to go check it out. We got to, you know, a little bit of human viewpoint. You know, we got to check it out. But Ezekiel 20, verse 6 says God had already spied it out. This is a form of unbelief. I don't need to spy out that which God has already spied out. Or the first thing they could have done said, okay, it's in our mind to go spy out the land. Lord, what do you think about this? What is your best for us? Before we pick up where we left off in Deuteronomy 7, I want to read that verse from Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 10, starting at verse 14. "Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry." Verse 19, "What do I mean then? That a thing sacrificed to idols is anything, or that an idol is anything? No. But I say," I'm speaking to you Corinthians who are born again, "I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you, born again Corinthians, to become sharers in demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord," communion, the Lord's table, "and the cup of demons," in some pagan temple. "You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? We are not stronger than He, are we?" So the Corinthians were partaking of demons, which is idolatry, by going into the temple and participating with that which represents an abomination to God. There are temples there in Corinth. They were still involved with that lifestyle. 1 Corinthians 8, he says, you read down there, you know, concerning things sacrificed to idols, not all have knowledge. So they could go in there and say, oh, we can eat this. It's just an animal and all that. And he goes in and deals with that which has to do with involvement with or identification with being idolatry and how that could be a stumbling block to others and lead them back into sin. Also in 1 John chapter 1 says, verse 3, "What we've seen and heard, we have proclaimed to you that you also may have fellowship with us." That would be John, the apostles. 1 John 1, 3, "You may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." So what is the number one thing that would separate us from fellowship? "In these things we write that our joy may be made complete." So what would be the number one thing that would rob us of joy and fellowship? It's very simple. 1 John 5, verse 21, "Little children, guard yourselves from idols." You can't have fellowship with God. You cannot have your joy complete if you're involved with idolatry. Can't. It's not going to happen. It won't happen. If you want to have fellowship with God, 1 John 1, 3, then 1 John 5, 21, "Little children, guard yourself from idols." Deuteronomy 7. Remember what we just read in Deuteronomy 6? Verse 22, "Moreover, the Lord showed great and distressing signs and wonders before our eyes against Egypt, Pharaoh and all his household." Deuteronomy 6, verse 23, "And he brought us out from there in order to bring us in, to give us the land which he had sworn to our fathers. So the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear, revere, and respect the Lord our God for our good always and for our survival as it is today. And it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to observe, to keep all this commandment before the Lord our God, just as he commanded us. When the Lord your God shall bring you into the land where you are entering to possess it, and shall clear away many nations before you, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and stronger than you. And when the Lord your God shall deliver them before you, and you shall defeat them, then you shall utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them, and show no favor to them. All satanic rituals involves covenants. Drinking blood, all that kind of stuff. Ritual sex, you're making a covenant. You shall show no favor to them. Furthermore, you shall not intermarry with them. There's always marriage rituals in cult activity. You shall not intermarry with them. You shall not give your daughters to their sons, nor shall you take their daughters for your sons. For they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. Then the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and he will quickly destroy you. For thus you shall do to them. You shall tear down their altars. These are idols. And smash their sacred pillars. Idols, phallic objects. Hew down their Asherim, female counterpart to that. And burn their graven images with fire. You shall make no other images of gods put before me. First commandment. You shall burn their graven images with fire. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God, and the Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his own possession, his own special and private treasure. Out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth, the Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any of the peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But because the Lord loved you and kept the oath which he swore to your forefathers, the Lord brought you out by a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, house of bondage, from the hand that is the dominion and the domination of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Know, therefore, the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps his covenant and his loving kindness, his loyal, steadfast covenant love to a thousandth generation, to those who love him and keep his commandments, but he repays those who hate him through practicing idolatry. He repays them to their faces to destroy them. He will not delay with him who hates him. He will repay him to his face. That is, practice idolatry. Therefore, you shall keep the commandment and the statutes and the judgments which I am commanding you today to do them. Then it shall come about, because you listen to the judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord your God will keep with you his covenant, his loving kindness, his covenant loyalty, which he swore to your forefathers, and he will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground, your grain and your new wine, your oil, the increase of your herd and the young of your flock in the land which he swore to your forefathers to give you. You shall be blessed above all peoples. There shall be no male or female barren among you or among your cattle. Like Eric Ludia said, there are no abortions in God's kingdom. It's only fruitfulness. And the Lord will remove from you all sickness. And he will not put on you any of the harmful diseases of Egypt, which you have known. But he will lay them on all who hate you. They're going to get sick. And you shall consume all the peoples whom the Lord your God will deliver to you. Your eyes shall not pity them. Why? Because they're hybrids. Numbers 13:33. Neither shall you serve their gods, for that would be a snare to you. If you should say in your heart, these nations are greater than I, how can I dispossess them? Or how can I disinherit them? You shall not be afraid of them. You shall well remember what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all Egypt, the great trials which your eyes saw, and the signs and the wonders and the mighty hand and the outstretched arm by which the Lord your God brought you out. So shall the Lord your God do to all the peoples of whom you are afraid. Moreover, the Lord your God will send the hornet against them until those who are left and hide themselves from you perish. You shall not dread them. You shall not fear Satan. You shall not. For the Lord your God is in your midst, a great and awesome God. That includes standing under the Temple Mount in the midst of Satan's throne in Jerusalem. That's what it means. And the Lord your God will clear away these nations before you little by little. And you will not be able to put an end to them quickly, lest the wild beasts grow too numerous for you. But the Lord your God shall deliver them before you and will throw them into great confusion until they are destroyed. And he will deliver their kings into your hand, so that you shall make their name and reputation perish from under heaven. No man will be able to stand before you until you have destroyed them. That means every rule, authority, and principality and power that's in the second heavens that stands between Jesus Christ returning from the third heaven to the first heaven, destroyed. And made a footstool for the feet of Jesus Christ so he can return for his church. The graven images of their gods you are to burn with fire. You shall not covet the silver or the gold that is on them, nor take it for yourselves, lest you be snared by it, for it is an abomination, it is utterly loathsome and disgusting to the Lord your God. That's what the word means. An abomination is always associated with idolatry. And you shall not bring an abomination into your house and become a devoted thing, that is something that I've devoted to destruction, or anything like it. You shall utterly detest it, because I do. You shall utterly abhor it, because I do. For it is a thing devoted to destruction. Kerem. All the commandments that I am commanding you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply, and go in and possess your inheritance, the land, which the Lord swore to give your forefathers, and you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you, to know what was in your heart, ultimately, so that you would know what he knows. Whether you would keep his commandments or not, that's what the testing is for. Find out if you're going to be obedient or not. And he humbled you, and let you be hungry, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. That's what Jesus quoted to Satan in Matthew 4:4 and Luke 4. Okay? If you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. If you be the Son of God, deity, turn these stones into bread. I'm not here to be deity, though I am deity. I'm here to be man. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I'm here as man to obey God. You see the difference? Your clothing did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. Thus you are to know in your heart that the Lord your God was disciplining you just as a man or a father disciplines his son. That's Hebrews 12. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear, revere, and respect him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs flowing forth in valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey. In other words, it's already there. The enemy has built all this, now you're going to go take possession. A land where you shall eat food without scarcity, in which you shall not lack anything, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. Some of my inheritance you have to go digging for. It's not just laying on the ground. You've got to dig for it. The unsearchable riches of Christ. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge hidden in Christ in God, Colossians 3:3. And when you have eaten and are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I am commanding you today. Lest when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and gold multiply and all that you have multiplies, then your heart becomes proud. And you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery or bondage. He led you through the great and terrible wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there is no water. He brought you water out of the rock of flint. So it sounds to me like he didn't want them to settle down in the wilderness. I mean, who wants to live with serpents and scorpions? Who wants to just eat manna all the rest of your life? How about all this wealthy produce of the land, the riches of our inheritance in Christ? He doesn't want us to be comfortable there. So in the wilderness, he fed you with manna, just enough to get by on. Same thing every day. It's not bad, it's just boring. Isn't there something else we can eat? And then he gave him meat. How would you like to eat a little honey wafer every day and nothing else? It's full of nutrition, keeps you alive, but it's not enough to satisfy you. It never was meant to. You're supposed to be satisfied in the land where you have all this marvelous food. Shall eat food without scarcity, verse 9, versus manna. The wilderness he fed you with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you, that he might test you to do good for you in the end. That is, when you get into land, you can say, wow, I'm sure glad I'm eating the old corn of the land. versus this manna. Well, I'm sure glad I persevered and got all the way through into the land. Otherwise, you may say in your heart, my power and strength and my hand made me this wealth. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. And it shall come about that if you ever forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you today that you shall surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, you shall perish because you would not listen to the voice of the Lord your God. Hear, O Israel, you are crossing over the Jordan today to go in and dispossess, that is, disinherit, nations greater and mightier than you, great cities fortified to heaven, a people great and tall, the sons of the Anakim, whom you know and whom you have heard it said, who can stand before the sons of Anak? And look at Numbers 13, verse 33. These are hybrids, giants amongst these entities. Know therefore today that it is the Lord your God who is crossing over before you as a consuming fire. He will destroy them and he will subdue them before you so that you may drive them out and destroy them quickly just as the Lord has spoken to you. Do not say in your heart when the Lord your God has driven them out before you because of my righteousness. The Lord has brought me in to possess this land. But it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is dispossessing or disinheriting them before you. It is not for your righteousness or your uprightness of your heart that you're going to possess their land, but it is because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord your God is driving them out before you in order to confirm the oath or the word which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Know then, it is not because of your righteousness that the Lord your God is giving you this good land to possess, for you are a stubborn, stiff-necked, rebellious people. Remember, do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness from the day that you left the land of Egypt until you arrived at this place. You have been rebellious against the Lord. He's speaking to the people as a whole. Even at Horeb, that is Mount Sinai, you provoked the Lord to wrath, and the Lord was so angry with you that he would have destroyed you. It goes back to Exodus 32. Remember, Moses went up to get the tablets, and Aaron made the golden calf, and they went into an idolatrous orgy while he's up there receiving the law. When I went up to the mountain to receive the tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenant which the Lord had made with you, then I remained on the mountain 40 days and nights. I neither ate bread nor drank water. And the Lord gave me the two tablets of stone written by the finger of God. And on them were all the words which the Lord had spoken with you on the mountain from the midst of the fire on the day of the assembly. And it came about the end of the 40 days and nights that the Lord gave me the two tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenant. Then the Lord said to me, arise and go down from here quickly, for your people whom you brought out of Egypt have acted corruptly. Again, this is Exodus 32. That's the first generation. They have quickly turned aside from the way which I commanded them, and they have made a molten image for themselves, the golden calf. The Lord spoke further to me, saying, I have seen this people, and indeed it is a stiff-necked, rebellious, stubborn people. Let me alone, that I may destroy them and blot out their name from under heaven. And I will make of you a nation mightier and greater than they. See, this is this God testing Moses. Oh, to see if there's any self-interest. And Moses says, you'd have nothing of it. You blot them out, I'm not going on. He's drawing out Moses to represent that which would define Moses in the attitude that God had originally. So I turned and came down to the mountain while the mountain was burning with fire and the two tablets of the covenant with my two hands. And I saw that you had indeed sinned against the Lord, your God. You had made for yourselves a molten calf. You had turned aside quickly from the way which the Lord had commanded you. And I took hold of the tablets and threw them from my hands and smashed them before your eyes. In other words, the covenant violation, broken through idolatry. And I fell down before the Lord as at the very first, 40 days and 40 nights. I neither ate bread nor drank water because of all your sin which you committed in doing what was evil in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger. For I was afraid of the anger and hot displeasure with which the Lord was wrathful against you in order to destroy you, but the Lord listened to me that time also. Just read Exodus 34, it's tremendous. And the Lord was angry enough with Aaron to destroy him. So I also prayed for Aaron at the same time. And I took your sinful thing, the calf which you had made, and burned it with fire and crushed it, grinding it very small until it was fine as dust, and threw its dust into the brook that came down from the mountain. Again at Taberah and at Massah and Kibroth Hattaavah, you provoked the Lord to wrath. When the Lord sent you from Kadesh Barnea, that is the entrance to the land of Canaan, saying, go up and possess the land which I have given you, then you rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. You neither believed him nor listened to his voice. That's the spies back there in Numbers 11. You have been rebellious against the Lord from the day I knew you. So I fell down before the Lord the 40 days and 40 nights, which I did because the Lord had said he would destroy you. So he interceded. He stood in the gap. And I prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord God, do not destroy thy people, even your inheritance, whom you have redeemed through your greatness, whom you have brought out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Remember your servants Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Do not look at the stubbornness of this people, or at their wickedness or their sin. Otherwise the land from which thou didst bring us may say, because the Lord was not able to bring them into the land which he had promised them, and because he hated them, he has brought them out to slay them in the wilderness. In other words, he's appealing to God. What about your reputation? Yet they are your people, even your inheritance, whom thou hast brought out by thy great power and thine outstretched arm. So as they go in and possess their inheritance, God gets their inheritance in them. They become his inheritance as they dispossess the enemy and take possession of their inheritance. It's interrelated and interdependent. Deuteronomy 10. At that time, the Lord said to me, cut out for yourselves two tablets of stone. This is the renewal. In other words, the first was destroyed. This is the second giving of the law there. Cut out for yourselves two tablets of stone, like the former ones. Come up to me on the mountain and make an ark of wood for yourself. And I will write on the tablets the words that were on the former tablets which you shattered, and you shall put them in the ark. So I made an ark of acacia wood, and cut the two tablets of stone like the former ones, and went up on the mountain with the two tablets of stone in my hand. So this time there's an ark, you see. It's now contained in Jesus. Without Jesus being the place of God's covenant and law, it's not an abiding reality. He wrote on the tablets like the former writing, the Ten Commandments which the Lord had spoken to you on the mountain from the midst of the fire on the day of the assembly, and the Lord gave them to me. Then I turned and came down from the mountain and put the tablets in the ark which I had made, and there they are as the Lord commanded me. So that's a new development, you see. It's the tablets. Now they're in an ark. The lid on the ark became the mercy seat where the Lord met with them. Now the sons of Israel set out from Beeroth ben Jaakan to Mazerah. There Aaron died, and there he was buried, and Eleazar his son ministered as priest in his place. From there they set out to Gudgoda, and from Gudgoda to Jotbatha, whatever, in the land of brooks of water. At that time the Lord set apart the tribe of Levi to carry the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and that was because of their loyalty in Exodus 32. They were set apart to carry the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and to stand before the Lord to serve him, to bless his name until this day. Therefore, Levi does not have a portion or inheritance with his brothers, that is a physical inheritance. Why? The Lord is his inheritance, just as the Lord your God spoke to him. The Lord is, and that's for us today. See, we don't have a physical property. The Lord is our inheritance. The offerings were their inheritance. Their priesthood was their inheritance. All three are juxtaposed if you read the scripture. I moreover stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights like the first time, and the Lord listened to me that time also. The Lord was not willing to destroy you. Then the Lord said to me, arise, proceed on your journey ahead of the people, that they may go in and possess the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Everything is unto possession. Everything is unto the land. See that? The redemption out of Egypt is all unto the inheritance. So how important is the inheritance of God? Redemption is 100% unto that. That's the whole focus. Not get saved, stay saved, but now that you're saved, go in and take possession of your inheritance. Now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear, revere, and respect the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and love him and serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, to keep the Lord's commandments and his statutes which I am commanding you today for your good? Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the highest heavens, that is, the heaven of the heavens, the earth and all that is in it. Yet on your fathers did the Lord set his affection to love them, and he chose their descendants after them, even you above all peoples as it is this day. Circumcise your heart and stiffen your neck no more. In other words, that which is a callous indifference and insensitivity to the Lord, you need to take responsibility to nurture that so that you come into alignment, so that everything that represents his most subtle communication and presence to you, you're not dull and insensitive to the Lord's presence. For the Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, the awesome God who does not show partiality nor take a bribe. He executes justice, that is, vindication for the orphan and the widow, and shows his love for the alien by giving them food and clothing. That is, those who are not Jewish that choose to become proselytes and choose the God of Israel to be their God. So show your love for the alien, that is, the non-Hebrew Jewish people, those Gentiles who choose the God of Israel as their God. For you were aliens in the land of Egypt. You shall fear and revere and respect the Lord your God. You shall serve him, cleave, hold fast, davak, cleave to him, bond with him, and you shall swear by his name. He is your praise. He is your God who has done these great and awesome things for you, which your eyes have seen. Your fathers went down to Egypt, 70 persons in all, and now the Lord your God has made you as numerous as the stars of heaven. Just like when he made that promise to Abraham back in Genesis. You shall therefore love the Lord your God and always keep his charge, his statutes, his ordinances, and his commandments. How many times has he said this? Over and over and over and over. Why? Because that's how many times we need to hear it. That's how many times we need to be reminded, lest you forget. Know this day that I am not speaking with your sons who have not known and who have not seen the discipline, the disciplinary instruction of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty hand, his outstretched arm. They're a new generation. And his signs and his works, which he did in the midst of Egypt to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and to all his land, and what he did to Egypt's army, to its horses, its chariots, when he made the water of the Red Sea to engulf, my margin says, to flow over their faces, to engulf them while they were pursuing you, and the Lord completely destroyed them. What he did to you in the wilderness until you came to this place, and what he did to Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, the son of Reuben, when the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them and their households, their tents, and every living thing that followed them among all Israel. But your eyes have seen all the great work of the Lord which he did. Because they offered strange fire. Oh, well, you know, it's not just God chose Levi. Well, we have just as much right to go offer incense before the Lord. God doesn't show any partiality. It's not just the Levites. We have a right too. So they go in and offer that strange fire, unauthorized by the Lord, and God destroyed them. You approach me on my terms. You don't come before me other than through that which represents the priestly ministry and the person of Jesus Christ, your high priest. You try to come in the other way, you are destroyed. And that's the application. One way to the Father, through Jesus Christ and his high priesthood ministry. You shall therefore keep every commandment which I am commanding you today, so that you may be strong. Notice, obedience results in strength, so that you may be strong and go in and possess the land into which you are about to cross to possess it. In other words, obedience equals possessing the inheritance. And, most importantly, God possessing his inheritance in us. So you go in, you're going to cross over and to possess the land as a result of your obedience, so that you may prolong your days on the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give to them and to their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey. For the land into which you are entering to possess it is not like the land of Egypt from which you came, where you used to sow your seed and water it with your foot like a vegetable garden. But the land in which you are about to cross to possess is a land of hills, valleys, drinks water from the rain of heaven, a land for which the Lord your God cares. The eyes of the Lord your God are always on it, from the beginning even to the end of the year. His eyes are on the inheritance. God is focused on the inheritance. Where are our eyes? And it shall come about, if you listen obediently to my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God, to serve him with all your heart and all your soul, that I will give the rain for your land in its season, the early and the late rain, the fall rain for germination, the latter rain in the spring for harvest, that you may gather in your grain, in your new wine, in your oil, and I will give grass in your fields for your cattle, and you shall eat and be satisfied. Beware lest your hearts be deceived, and you turn away and serve other gods and worship them. How many times is that? Over and over again. Or the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and he will shut up the heavens, economic collapse, so that there will be no rain, and the ground will not yield its fruit, and you will perish quickly from the good land which the Lord is giving you. You shall therefore impress, place, put firmly in place these words of mine on your heart and on your soul. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. So all that you do and all your thoughts are governed by my word. And you shall teach them to your sons, talking to them. It's a reiteration of what we saw in Deuteronomy 6. You shall teach them to your sons, talking of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. In other words, the house and the family is a place of the instruction of the Lord. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your sons may be multiplied on the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, as long as the heavens remain above the earth. For if you are careful to keep all these commandments, which I am commanding you today, all the commandments are embodied into one single commandment. Doing it is to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and hold fast to him. So if we're loving God, we're doing his commandments, we're walking in all his ways and cleaving to him. See? That's called loving God. Verse 23. Then the Lord will drive out all these nations from before you, and you will dispossess, you will disinherit. As you take possession of your inheritance, you'll do this because you're disinheriting nations greater and mightier than you. Every place on which the sole of your foot shall tread shall be yours. Your border shall be from the wilderness to Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, that is in the east, as far as the western sea, the Mediterranean. There shall no man be able to stand before you. The Lord your God shall lay the dread of you and the fear of you on all the land on which you set foot, as he has spoken to you. See, in other words, pay attention. I'm setting before you today a blessing and a curse. Blessing, if you obey, if you listen, that is, obey to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I am commanding you today, and the curse, if you do not listen and do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way in which I am commanding you today by following other gods which you have not known. And it shall come about when the Lord your God brings you into the land where you are entering to possess it, that you shall place the blessing on Mount Gerizim, and the curse on Mount Ebal. So that means you have a choice. You know, you can choose which mountain you're going to be identified with. Are they not across the Jordan, west of the way toward the sunset, in the land of the Canaanites, who live in the Arabah, opposite Gilgal, beside the oaks of Morat? In other words, there it is. As you get ready to go in the land, you can see you have a choice. Obey or disobey. Blessing or curse. The choice is yours. For you are about to cross the Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you, and you shall possess it and live in it. And you shall be careful to do all the statutes and the judgments which I'm setting before you today. These are the statutes and the judgments which you shall carefully observe in the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, has given you to possess as long as you live on the earth. You shall utterly destroy all the places where the nations whom you shall dispossess serve their gods, on the high mountains, and on the hills, and under every green tree. You shall tear down their altars, and smash their sacred pillars, and burn their asherim with fire. And you shall cut down the engraved images of their gods, and you shall obliterate their name from that place. Sounds like radical discipleship to me. Ye shall not act like this toward the Lord your God, but ye shall seek the Lord at the place which the Lord your God shall choose from all your tribes to establish his name there for his dwelling, and there ye shall come. There ye shall bring your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, the contribution of your hand, your votive offerings, your free will offerings, the firstborn of your herd and of your flock. In other words, all the various aspects of the personal work of Jesus Christ is the virtue and that which represents your right to come into my presence. There also you and your household shall eat before the Lord your God and rejoice in all your undertakings in which the Lord your God has blessed you. You shall not do at all what we are doing here today, every man doing what is right in his own eyes. For you have not as yet come to the resting place and the inheritance which the Lord your God is giving you. Inheritance, resting place. Why? Because God's at rest in his Son. Our inheritance is in Christ. As we enter into that inheritance, we come into his rest. That's Hebrews 4. When you cross the Jordan and live in the land which the Lord your God is giving you to inherit, and he gives you rest from all your enemies around you so that you live in security or peace and prosperity, then it shall come about that the place in which the Lord your God shall choose for his name to dwell, there you shall bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings and your sacrifices, your tithes and the contributions of your hand, and all your choice votive offerings which you will vow to the Lord. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God, you and your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, and the Levite who is within your gates, since he has no portion or inheritance with you. Be careful that you do not offer your burnt offerings in every cultic place you see, ritual site, where the pagans worship false gods. But you are to offer your burnt offerings in the place which the Lord chooses, in one of your tribes. There you shall offer your burnt offerings, and there you shall do all that I command you. Eventually that was in Shiloh, and it moved eventually to Jerusalem. In the days of Samuel, it was in Shiloh. However, you may slaughter and eat meat within any of your gates, whatever you desire, according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given you. The unclean and the clean may eat of it, as of the gazelle and the deer. Only you shall not eat the blood. You are to pour it out on the ground like water. You are not allowed to eat within your gates the tithe of your grain, your new wine, or the firstborn of your herd or flock, or any of your votive offerings which you vow, or your freewill offerings, or the contribution of the hand. In other words, it's not just to do it at a whim. This is a specified place where you're to meet corporately before the Lord. But you shall eat them before the Lord your God in the place which the Lord your God will choose. Not what you choose, what he chooses. You and your son and your daughter and your male and your female servants and the Levite who is within your gates, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God in all your undertakings. Be careful that you do not forsake the Levite as long as you live in your land. In other words, the tithe, they get a tenth to support them. When that tithe that you offer the Lord goes to them. The tithes are their inheritance. That's what he's saying, because they represent the company that go in before the Lord and come out from the Lord, that separated priestly company of God's people. Today, all Christians are royal priests. When the Lord your God extends your border as he has promised you, and you say, I will eat meat because you desire to eat meat, then you may eat meat whatever you desire. If the place which the Lord your God chooses to put his name is too far from you, then you may slaughter of your herd and flock which the Lord has given you, as I have commanded you, and you may eat within your gates whatever you desire. Just as a gazelle or a deer is eaten, so you shall eat it. The unclean and the clean alike may eat of it. That is, for the provision and grace for this fellowship meal. Only be sure not to eat the blood, for the blood is the life. The physical life is in the blood, and you shall not eat the life with the flesh. You shall not eat it. You shall pour it out on the ground like water. You shall not eat it in order that it may be well with you and your sons after you, for you will be doing what is right in the sight of the Lord. That's why all the cult rituals, you drink blood. They're doing it in defiance of the Lord. Just a bunch of losers is all they are. Arrogance. I'm so glad there's a lake of fire, people. It's a glorious thought that there's a lake of fire where perfect justice will be administered to those who refused the God of all grace and the provision he made for them through Jesus Christ. You'll never see me weep over someone who's rejected Jesus Christ. Why? Because he's the fool. Why should you weep over someone who rejects Jesus Christ? That makes no sense to me. Why weep? He's made full provision. It makes no sense. Do you see God weeping over those who reject Jesus Christ? No, you see only eternal wrath. Why not be aligned with the living God who is only wrathful towards that which rejects his Son? Why don't we align ourselves with the mind of God who poured out his wrath on his Son so that we could go free and be forgiven? And when some fool rejects that provision, goes to the lake of fire, we sit around and weep? That makes no sense to me at all. That is contrary to the name and nature of God. If we're one with God, then when the wrath is being poured out on unbelieving mankind, we're one with the angels in heaven, and you will not see any weeping angels in heaven in the book of Revelation. God's wrath is being poured out on unbelieving mankind. All you see is worship, and all you see is praise going on in heaven. That's where we need to be. We need to be one with that mind and that heart, lest we find ourselves in a mediocre, compromised position with fallen mankind. And then you can proclaim the mercy and grace to those who are unbelievers, that there is grace and mercy for you now, but be reminded of this. You say no, wrath and destruction forever. It'll be your choice. It's your choice. You say, what if I'm not among those chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world? Whosoever will may come and drink of the water of life freely. Will you come? See? You can get into all kinds of debates with these people, and you just keep hammering away with the truth. You shall pour it out on the ground like water. In other words, you're not to eat the blood. To sacrifice. The Lord's life is not to be appropriated in this way that would identify you with pagan practices. You shall not eat it, in order that it may be well with you and your sons after you, for you will be doing what is right in the sight of the Lord. Only your holy offerings, which you may have, your votive offerings, you shall take and go to the place which the Lord chooses. You shall offer burnt offerings, the flesh and the blood, on the altar of the Lord your God. And the blood of your sacrifices shall be poured out on the altar of the Lord your God, and you shall eat flesh. And that was established 3 times a year. That is the Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles in the fall time. Be careful to listen to all these words which I command you, in order that it may be well with you and your sons after you forever, for you will be doing what is good and right in the sight of the Lord your God. When the Lord your God cuts off before you the nations which you are going to dispossess, that is, disinherit, and you dispossess or disinherit them and dwell in their land, beware that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed before you, and that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, how do these nations serve their gods, that I also may do likewise? And you see, that was what took place in the book of Judges. They didn't listen to this. They did just exactly the opposite, and you see what happens in the book of Judges. Continual captivity and defeat and domination by the enemy. Until God raised up a judge. They didn't listen. Beware that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed before you. Verse 31, you shall not behave thus toward the Lord your God, for every abominable act which the Lord hates, they have done for their gods. For they even burn their sons and daughters in fire to their gods. Human sacrifice. Whatever I command you, you shall be careful to do. You shall not add to, nor take away from it. So may the Lord use his word to sanctify us and align us with his nature and character purposes. And we might not only obtain the riches of the glory of our inheritance in Christ, but that God the Father might obtain the riches of the glory of his inheritance in us. In Jesus' name.